I think we're going to touch on one of the, maybe a section of the Bible that we don't really touch on too much, we don't really talk about. And when we do talk about this passage that we're going to read, usually I think people touch on different aspects of what the scripture means or what the scripture says and not necessarily what the passage means. So the title of this message is, I wouldn't sit there if I were you. So you can just, as we're talking, just think about that. I wouldn't sit there if I were you. Well, what does that really imply? We have somebody sitting here in the front row today. We normally don't. I wouldn't sit there if I were you. No, actually, I would sit there. It's a great spot to sit. So it's a pleasure to be here with each and every one of you today, ready to share the word of God and learn more about what he says. How many of us enjoy looking out of windows? How many of us enjoy windows, right? So I was on a plane earlier and I was really jealous because I didn't get the window seat. Everybody wants that window seat on the plane, right? You get to look out, you get to see. I was actually kind of happy because it was a cloudy day and there was not much to see anyways, just the tops of clouds, so kind of lucked out. When you go on vacation and say you're at the beach and you go out to dinner and it's on, you know, right in front of the ocean, everybody wants that spot in the restaurant that's right next to the window, right? We get to see everything that's going on. When we go on vacation as well, you pay extra in the hotels to actually have a view, right? It usually will say ocean view or the other view, and they make it really nice when they say it's a garden view, right? Which really means you have a view of other people's doors on the other side of the hotel. Sometimes there's a little garden there. But we all like windows, that we all like the views of being able to look at windows. And usually there are seats by these windows that we can sit in. And for work, a couple weeks ago, I had to travel. So I had to stay in the airport and be there. Of course, you have to get there hours before the flight takes off. And this was around spring break, so I had to get there extra early because there was a ton of people. But then as I was in the airport, I started to observe people and where they sat. Anybody like to people watch? So I had nothing else really to do. I brought minimal things with me, so I didn't really have too much. So I started observing people. And so I was in an area of the airport where my flight still wasn't taking off for a while. So there was nobody really sitting in that area. So that as people started to come, you could kind of see the wheels turning on why they chose the different seats that they were sitting in. You know, we're all, I guess the COVID is still going around. So you see some of the people they're picking spots where they're not close to anybody else, right? So you see those people. Then you always see the people that have kids and they want to sit by the window, right? Because they want to see the planes coming in and out. And then you had other people that were not prepared. Of course, we all know these people that aren't prepared, and everywhere they go, they're looking for what? They're looking for a charger. They got to charge the phone up. They got to charge the iPad up. And then there were other people that I noticed that actually tried to go and sit. These are the chatty caddies, you know, the people like to chat. They go and try and sit next to people because they want to talk, and they're going to talk your ear off, which I like those people because they're people that we can share with, and I'm one of those talkers too. So we see these people that are trying to interact. And all these people, I'm focusing on this because they're all picking different seats in the airport. So my question to you is, are there good and bad seats? Are there places that can be good places to sit and places that aren't good to sit? Well, I've got a couple of experiences where I picked a bad place to sit. So me, I'm a big guy. I weigh a little bit more than a feather, but I've got some girth and I've got some weight. So when I pick out a chair to sit in, I have learned that I cannot just go and sit in any rickety plastic chair. And you guys, your imaginations are probably running wild, right? Yes, I have fallen out of many chairs and I have broken many chairs. So I can't just go and pick any chair. I've got to really, nope, that one's not going to work. So I've got to be choosy on my chairs. Sometimes it's the floor. I'm not going to break the floor. I remember my grandma broke her leg, and she was sitting at the time. She was sitting at a Los Angeles Angels game, and she liked to sit behind home plate, off to the side. And there was a foul ball. It got hit up in the air and went sky high. And when it came down, she was 80-something years old at the time. She wasn't the first one to jump up and try and catch this foul ball. But all the people around her tried to catch this foul ball. Well, the foul ball came right down, right on her leg. Huge bruise. And so that seat was not a very lucky seat. Nothing else has ever happened in that seat, but we see that maybe there are times where there is a good seat to sit in, and then there is a bad seat to sit in. So now we'll take it here with the church congregation. Each of you have picked your seat when you came in today. We have lots of people that pick the same seats every week. Nothing bad with that. There are people that usually like to fill up the back. There are people at the side looking out the windows. There are people up top. Each and every one of you made a decision on where you wanted to sit. But is there a good seat or a bad seat in the church? Just think about that. So we're talking a lot about sitting, right? Remember the title of this message was, I wouldn't sit there if I were you. So when we think about God and we think about the message and we look at the Bible, when you think of sitting, what comes to mind for you? To me, what comes to mind is, and I'm just thinking about, you know, the disciples and the people who sat down and listened to Jesus. A lot of the sitting happens when people are listening to somebody else. And I also, when I think about sitting in the Bible, I think about heaven. I think about sitting in the throne and what happens there. So I kind of think about those two things. Well, I did want to touch on some verses here in the Bible. We find in Acts 20, verses 7 and 12. You can go ahead and open there if you'd like. And we want to take a look and see what this passage has to say. But before we get into it, before we actually start reading the Word of God, I'd like to kneel down and ask for God's presence and God's help today. Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to congregate together, to learn more about your Word, learn more about your will, and put these things in practice into our lives, Lord. So this moment, please use me as one of your instruments just to speak the words that you have prepared for each and every one of us today. I pray for the church congregation as well, that we can forget all of the things of this world, that we can put all the things aside, and we can focus on your scripture, focus on your word, and that we can put it into practice as well, Lord. So please be with us, and thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so if you did open your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. And I'll go ahead and read that for us. Starting with verse 7 in Acts 12. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Verse 8 says, there were many lamps in the upper room where they gathered together. In a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. So he was sitting in a window, and he's falling into a deep sleep. The second part of verse 9 says, he was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now when they had come up, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, until daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. In the NIV version, it ends up saying, and they were greatly comforted. So we can see here that this young lad, he picked the wrong spot to sit in. Are we all in agreement here? He picked the wrong spot to sit. He sat himself and made the decision to sit in a very dangerous place. So when I was reading this, if you look into the book of Acts and you and you're seeing everything that's going on, Paul and his journey and traveling all over the place, in the middle of that, God just places this story. So have you ever read something in the Bible and then thought, well, why is this actually in the Bible? Why is this in its place? Well, scripture like this kind of got me thinking, okay, what is this message and what is in it for us and for me? This little story, these little five verses that God has placed in with this journey of Paul. So there are four points to this story that I would like to share and four takeaways that we can have that we can learn from God's word. And the first point that I would like us to focus on is the seat. The seat and where this young man sat. Why did this young man choose to sit where he sat? So let's recap just a little bit real quick. So there are people congregating together. They're seeing Paul. He's on his mission. He's talking to everybody. Everybody is glad to see him. He's preaching his word. They have come together, a good number of people. They have gone up into somebody's house, and they are now on the third floor. And this is going into the night. They started off probably during the day, and then at nighttime they are started, and they go up into this room at night. So the question still remains, why did this young lad decide to take this seat? Because he took the seat on the very outside of what everyone was going. He was sitting in the window. They didn't have glass windows back then. So he is sitting right on the edge of outside and inside where everybody is together. He couldn't go any further outside of that room. A message was being given to the people, and the boy was as far as he could get from this message. And what happened to the boy? He falls asleep, he falls, and he ends up dying. Of course, we know, we read the story, and he ends up living, but he ends up losing his life because he made the wrong choice in taking that seat. Now, did anybody else get hurt in this story? Nobody else got hurt in this story. Was there anybody else sitting in the window? Probably not. Probably everybody was together and they were listening to Paul and they were enjoying the message, they were enjoying the fellowship, but this youth decided to sit on the very outside. And those who were in the inner circle who were listening, nothing happened to them. Now the question, we bring that question home a little bit to our church congregation. Where are you seated today? Where are you seated in the sanctuary today? What seat have you chosen today? Are you seated in the very back? Are you hoping that nobody sees you, that nobody engages with you, but you came because you just kind of wanted to listen to God's word? Or have you sat here right in the front row, or have you sat here in the middle? Because that's where you like to sit and you feel good and you talk to everybody on the way. Now, I don't want to pick on anybody here today. I've sat in the back plenty of times myself. So I'm not picking out anybody sitting up top or in the back or on the sides or anything like that. So please don't take it that way. My intention is to have everybody, each and every one of us, kind of reflect on our lives. And this really isn't about where we sit right now. We'll get into that. So that's not my intention. I don't want to pick anybody. I don't want to call anybody out. Everybody, where you're at, you're fine. We love you all, and I know you love us. So I'm not just speaking about the physical place on where we sit, right? Where are you sitting before God? Where are you at with your relationship with God? And does it matter where you sit with God? Are you involved here in the church? Do you like to help out? Or are you just listening to the word of God? Are we reaching out? Are we connecting? Are we engaging? Or are we just sitting down and listening? Because as a church, we have to take time to get to know one another. It's great to come here and listen to God's word. I love it. It's fantastic. But that's not all of what church is. So are we sitting right with God? Or are we sitting in that window just like this youth was? Are we sitting as far away as we can from the message that is being spoken? Because if we take that window seat where we are right there on the edge of being in and being out, we can run the risk of falling asleep and falling and dying. So as a church, what are we doing here? Do we see the people that are sitting in the window chairs, in the window seats? Have we reached out to them? We need to be careful. We need to make sure that we are reaching out to those people who are sitting in the window seats. The second point I wanted to focus on is the window. Why did this young boy choose to sit in the window? And from a window, you can see two things, right? You can see everything that's going on outside. From that window, all that's going on outside, you turn around, and you can also see everything that is going on the inside as well. You pretty much have the best of both worlds. So if there's a message that's going on that you don't necessarily really like, if you're sitting by that window seat, you are still semi-entertained. You're able to see all the beautiful things outside, the sun, the birds, the people walking by. And if you are inside, you're great because you're inside too, so it doesn't matter how the weather is. It mentions in this text that Paul was speaking at night, and he was speaking for a long time. He was speaking past midnight. So he was speaking for a very long time. And obviously this boy, when all this message was going on, he really wasn't too interested in what was going on the inside, was he? So he takes a seat in the window. He could have sat in front row. He could have sat in amongst the groups, but he chose to sit out on that window. So he was probably from the window when the day was still light. He was probably seeing his friends outside, right? He's probably seeing the people that are still passing on the streets. He's on the third story. He's got a pretty view in that town of what's going on. So during the daytime when commotion is still going on, the boy was probably looking out and he was probably entertained, not by the message, but by what was going on outside. And then it starts to become dark. So what happens when things are dark? You see less people walking in the streets. You see people bringing it all inside. And then after a while, there comes a point where it's just dark and there's nobody outside. So then what happens to the boy when he's not entertained with what's going on outside and he's not entertained with what's going on inside? He falls asleep, and we know the end of the story there. So windows have two vantage points. You can either look from the outside and look through the window to see what's going on in the window, and you can see from the inside, and you can see what's going on outside as well. So let's take a minute and let's see what we see from those two vantage points, okay? So let's take a look and let's think during this whole scene that's going on, from the outside looking in from the streets at night, what are we seeing? So if we're there on the street level, we're looking up on the third story, we see what? We're gonna see the lights, right? Because it says they have the lamps. So we're gonna see this nice glow, this nice hue coming out from that window. We're also gonna hear Paul speaking. We're gonna hear commotion. We're gonna hear things that are going on inside that room. And maybe if we're down on the streets, we're like, wow, it's getting late. Their lamps are lit and there's people talking. There's people congregating together. They would be probably really interested. Oh, what's going on up there? But then when they get a little bit closer, they go, wait, is that a boy? Oh, look at him. He's asleep. So the people now that are on the street level, they're probably not too excited about what's going on upstairs anymore, right? Because they see when they come and they get closer, they see somebody sleeping. Ah, it's not that interesting. There's already somebody sleeping. Now let's think of our church today. People are drawn in by the light, right? People are drawn in by the light of God, by the light, hopefully, that is shining outside of us. And the people will come by Sac Central and they're going to say, well, it kind of looks nice in there. They got the lights on in there. It looks pretty nice. They've got beautiful church. So then they come in. Or do they come in? Or when they do come in, what do they see? Are they seeing the light? Or are they seeing the sleeping congregation? Most of the fact of the matter is that most people, when they come to church, are they seeing the light? Or are they seeing the sleeping members? Hopefully they're seeing the light. Our church has grown. We have had baptism, so there is light still shining out of Sacramento Central. Amen? But there probably are some people that are deterred by the sleeping members. So now we look at the vantage point from the inside looking out. Remember, there's people together. Paul's preaching. He's talking to them. It's dark outside. When it's light inside and you look outside, what do you see? Nothing, right? Have you ever been in your house and you hear something out in the backyard and you go look at the window? You can't see and you got to get closer? When there's a light inside, you can't really see what's going on outside. So now if I'm in and I'm a part of this group that's listening to Paul, if I turn around or if I look over, I can see that window. I can't see what's happening outside of that window, but there's one thing that I can see. And what do they see? They see a boy sitting in the window sleeping, right? So that's what you see. You see two different vantage points. We see the same thing, pretty much. We see that boy that's right there. That's one thing that each of us see. Those who are inside see the darkness outside. Those who are on the outside see the light inside. Are we kind of seeing this picture here? The people inside could have helped out this young man, right? This young man did not need to fall. He did not need to fall asleep. He did not need to die. Of course, we know he's brought back. But the people there in this group were so focused on the message. They were so focused on Paul. They were so focused on what was happening inside. Nobody took the time to look and see that boy is sitting in a very dangerous place. How many parents are there out here? How many of us have kids? When your kids are in a very dangerous situation, you try and pull them out of that situation, right? I don't know if this boy had parents there, but he definitely probably had people that cared about him. And if somebody saw somebody sitting in a very dangerous place, especially if he was falling asleep, you like to think that they would have brought him in. But they were focusing on only the message. They were not focusing on their surroundings. If one person had seen this boy sitting in the window, it could have not only saved his life, but it could have also, if they would have brought him out of that window, it probably could have shed the light on those who were probably walking down on the street, right? You guys understand where I'm getting at, right? The light is being obstructed by the sleeping member, the sleeping youth. I'm not saying our youth are sleeping. We have some great youth here. But they're distracted by that person that is sitting in the window and they're falling asleep. So a question is since this is a topic about a young boy, it is talking about a youth here. As a church, where are our youth? Where are they sitting? Where are each and every one of our kids sitting? I can't see my kids. Where are they? My kids are here too. Your kids are here too. Where are they sitting? Physically, where are they sitting? spiritually, where are they sitting? We are all here in this church today. We are all paying attention to the very important message that God wants to give us. But where are our children? I'm not yelling at any parents here. I'm the parent as well. So the third point I'd like to talk about today is the fall. There's a fall in this scripture that we read. And falls are tragic, right? How many of us have fallen here? Physically, spiritually, we've fallen. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the study of Genesis. But many times falls can be avoided. This young man fell out of the window. He fell three stories to the ground, and he was dead. There was a time when this young boy was a member. There was a time when this young boy made the decision to follow the people up into the room, to follow God. There was a time when this boy was close to God and when he did hear the message. But then there came a point where he decided to not sit with the group, and he decided to sit in that windowsill. He fell asleep and he died. So the question is, nobody needs to answer me on this question, but how many people are falling asleep? How many of us are falling asleep? How many of us, like this boy, chose to follow God at one time, but now we are falling asleep? We are paying more attention to what's going on the outside than what's going on the inside. How many people are moving closer and closer towards that window? So, when this boy fell outside of this window, who noticed that the boy had fallen outside of this window first? If the people were really paying attention on the inside, they would have taken him out of the window. So I don't think they were really paying attention. So how did they know that this boy had fallen to his death outside of the window? My guess is that the noise and the commotion came from the outside. And because the people on the inside heard what had gone on, because maybe they were looking at this youth and they saw him in the window, they didn't really care. He's a youth. Paul's talking here. I'm paying attention here. So maybe the commotion came on from outside, that something had happened and there was yelling and screaming, because the situation didn't look good when this boy fell three stories down, right? So how are we going to notice if our members are in this church and they're falling asleep, and that when they fall, how do we know? So I want to take a look. I want to see it. Take a look and imagine somebody who is inside our church that is falling asleep and that has fallen. But I want to take a look at it from the people on the outside and what they saw. Because all of us on the inside, we're not necessarily always going to see when our members are falling asleep, right? If we're not paying attention. We're a bigger church here. We don't all know each other's names and all know what we do. So a person from the outside of the church, say a family member or a friend of one of us who are in the church, when we start to fall, they are going to know that we are falling before anybody probably here will know. Right? Because they're going to see us. They're going to know us from before. They're going to know that we come close to Christ. They're going to know that we come close to God. They're going to see our lives changed. But then they're going to see some type of a regression. They're going to see, hey, why didn't you go to Sabbath? Why didn't you go to church this morning? I saw you were at home. Didn't really feel like it. Man, the pastor used to hand out literature all the time. Why today you didn't? So the people outside are going to be aware most of the time of the fall of a person that's in the church more than the church congregation knows. But that kind of needs to change, right? Because the more we can see people falling asleep, the more we can see people getting closer to that window here, the earlier we can help and the earlier we can bring them in. We can take them off of that window seat so that they don't have to fall to their death. the church, we should be watching for these people, but it's not happening. It's not happening how it should. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen all the time, but how many people have we known here that have been members that have come to our church that are no longer here today? For whatever reason. It's because we were focused on that message. We were focused on our own spirituality, but we were not focused entirely on those who were sitting in those window seats. We're not catching them. They're slipping through the cracks, and this will happen. We know it is written what's going to be happening in our church. We know people are going to fall away from our church. But the more we can do to keep the members who are here, the better off we're going to be. So the fourth point we want to talk about is the fall. Yes, there are two falls. If you notice, there are two falls in this story. Let's go ahead back to Acts 20, verse 9 through 12. I'll just read this real quick. It says, in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him. So that's our second fall. The first fall was the boy. The second fall was Paul falling on this boy. And then it says, and he embraced him and said, he said to the people around there, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. So we understand that there is the second fall. I wasn't just crazy. There were two falls. We pay attention to the boy falling, and that's a tragic fall. But the second fall is not a tragic fall. It is a hopeful fall. It is a fall of embrace, a fall of love. So when all of the commotion was happening, when this boy fell out of the window and he fell out on the outside of this room, the boy was pronounced dead at the scene. People were seeing the boy dead, bleeding, lifeless. But we notice what Paul did here. He does something different. He doesn't just scream and go, oh no. Paul goes down. He's calm. He's the example to them. He goes down. He goes outside. He kneels down with the boy, falls on the boy, and embraces the boy. Right? So what do we need to do as a church when we see people fall? We need to first get outside of where we are today, get out of our church, get out of our houses, get out of our comfort zones, and we need to go and we need to find the people that have fallen. And we need to follow Paul's example. We need to go to them. We need to fall on them and embrace them. And notice that what Paul says here, it says, right, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. So Paul's not worried here. Paul doesn't see what everybody else sees. What everybody else sees is a dead child that has fallen to his death. But Paul sees life in someone that no one else sees life in. We need to do that. We need to see the life in everybody who the world has now pronounced dead. Have you heard that before? Oh, why don't you talk to that person? Oh, we can't help him. We can't be like that. We can't see dead people. We need to see that there is life in people. And if we go to them and we fall on them and we embrace them, the life can be restored, not because there's anything good in us, but because of our Lord and Savior. He can do incredible things. I was pronounced dead at one time, not medically or anything like that, but I was pronounced dead. So many people wrote me off as being dead, and I'm here with you today. There are so many other people that the world thinks is dead, and they're not dead. We need to see the life in people. So Paul's next step, after he gets through this situation, after he This boy is now alive. He's not dead. He is alive. Paul picks the boy up. He brings him back, and he brings him back to where the message is being speaked. He gives him food, and he stays with him. I'm pretty sure that Paul probably helped him walk up the stairs, right? Because after an accident like this, after a fall like this, he's not going to just get right back up and go. He's going to be a little hurt. So we need to be there. And that's the part of the embrace that we need to talk about. It's not just that one moment when the person falls, we think, oh, we go and we embrace them and we fall on them and we hug them and we bring them back and we leave them. We need to be there with them. We need to help them walk. We need to help them get back. And do you think that when this young man got back upstairs, do you think he returned to the window seat? No. He sat as far away from that window as he could. Do you think anybody else sat in that window seat? Do you think the congregation that was there tried to bar up that window so that never happens again? What are we doing at Sac Central? Are we making sure that nobody sits in that window seat? So we have a couple of takeaways from this message. And this message, everybody's going to have a different takeaway out of this message, right? Because it depends who we are. If we are the one that is sitting in the window, God wants to call us out of that window seat. He wants to come up next to us. He wants to nudge us. He wants to wake us up and go, come on, that's not where you need to be. You need to be here. So if you are that person that is in the window seat, your takeaway is get out of the window. Get out of that very dangerous spot that you're sitting in. Probably everybody else that was sitting down, they didn't have backrest, they didn't have chairs, it wasn't nice and comfy like we're sitting in today. Probably sitting on the ground listening to Paul speak. And this young man, when he sat, he probably was leaning up against the window, right? The windowsill, and he had his feet up. He was nice and comfortable. Get out of being comfortable if you're sitting in the window seat. Now, I don't know who is sitting here in the window seat. But if when I come here on Sabbath day, if I don't try and get to know some of you, and I don't try and see you and shake your hand, I'm never going to know. There is so many people, I can't get to each and every one of you, and nobody, the pastors, nobody can get to each and every one of us here. But if you're sitting in the window seat, reach out. Don't just come to church and sit in that window seat and try and listen to the message and being in that spot where you're half in and half out. If you're in that seat, become active in the church. Don't just come and sit. Come and be active. We are always looking for people to help out in the church. Always looking for people to help. We would love to have more people help out. So if you think you're one of those people that are sitting in the window seat, reach out. Let us know that you're sitting in the window seat. We want to be there. We want to help you. We want to get you through this. Because God is calling you to come back and to be active, not to just come in and sit down. So that's for one person. That's what your takeaway is going to be today if you're sitting in the window seat. If you're a parent of a youth that may think that your youth or your son or your daughter is sitting in the window seat, you're going to have a different action. You're going to have a different takeaway from this message as well, right? You're going to take a look and you're going to see, is my son, is my daughter sitting in the window seat? Or are they sitting here right next to me where they are protected and they are loved and they are cared for? And if they are out and they are sitting in that window seat, we need to bring them off of that window seat. We need to get them involved. We need to get them away from all of the distractions and the temptations of the world. And we need to bring them back. We need to have them next to us and active in our church as well. So if you're a parent of one of these youth that are sitting in the window seats, get them back off. Have them come off of that window seat. And if you're a member here of this church and you are not sitting in the window seat, if you are active here, and if you like being here, and if you love God, and you want to help out, start helping out. Because this was a group of people who were listening to the message, and this still happened. We need to look. We need to find those who are sitting in the window seat. We need to find those who are falling asleep. We need to find those who have fallen or that are about to fall. We can't just sit and wait. We need to interact with one another. We need to talk to people who we don't know. We need to introduce ourselves to people that we see that just walk in and out of this church and nobody says hi to. We need to be that person. We need to grow our congregation. We need to love our brethren. So depending where you are at in your life, you're going to have different takeaways here. And these are five verses here in this Bible in the Bible that we read. But if we really take a look at it, it's such a great message for each and every one of us here. Let's do this. Let's become more of an active church. Let us bar up these windows. We don't want anybody falling out of the windows at Sacramento Central Church. And if you're visiting here today from another church, go back and bar up your windows when you get back too. Do not let especially our youth fall out of the windows. So the title of this message was what? I wouldn't sit there if I were you. So we need to go with love and with care and go, brother, I wouldn't sit there if I were you. Come here, come sit with me. So at the very end, before we finish here, at the very end, tomorrow is Mother's Day. We want to celebrate our mothers. Thank you so much for everything you do. Mothers, you're wonderful. We love you, and we thank you that you're in our lives and you're doing what you do. I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for my wife, and thankful for each and every one of you. So all of you mothers at the end of church, as you're going out, please pick up a flower. We've got some flowers for you that our young kids that are not sitting in window seats would love to give you. So thank you so much for permitting me to fill in for Pastor Fred today. And hopefully we'll be able to do it again one day soon. So happy Sabbath. Love each and every one of you here. And have a blessed rest of your day.
Oh, brother, be faithful, soon Jesus will come. For whom we have waited so long, oh, soon we shall enter our glorious home and join in a conqueror's song. Oh, brother, be faithful for what you did prove, but faithful to him who has shown such deeds, such unbounded and infinite love, who died to redeem.
Let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. Lord, help us if we're in the window to get out of the window. If we have our youth in the window, to help them get down from that window. And Lord, if we are right with you and we are good, help us to be able to pay attention to those who are around us, Lord. Help us to grow our church. Help us to grow together. Help us to grow in you each and every day, Lord. Thank you so much for your blessings and everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.